Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Rongi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called The Show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
What a Friday it is, and it's cloudy, and it's going to rain probably again later.
Did you know it's been raining for 7 years?
Yeah, I think saw it has. That. Huh. I read about that in the paper. I read about it on KMOX.com that it's been raining a lot.
7 years. And it's going to rain all weekend, I think.
Yeah.
We did set a record for the rainiest April.
We did.
We have
just
to be.
Just barely, though. Just barely.
What about May? Were we the rainiest May?
I don't know.
I think we're getting there. Hancock and Kelly are with us.
Do we still have a National Weather Service out there?
That hasn't been doged out yet.
Okay.
Although that's a is Doge even a thing anymore now what happened yesterday? Well, we'll get to that. Chris and Amy's show, Hancock and Kelly are with us, 314-436-7900. Follow us on Twitter because you can watch us there too. It's at Chris Amy KMOX. And when you're on the Odyssey app listening, if you're doing it that way, you can leave us a voice message. Click that button that says send a message, record it, and maybe we'll play it on the show.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Well, funding for the Chiefs and Royals Stadium here in Missouri looks like it's going to happen, even though appetite for that usually is pretty low from taxpayers. But it is going to happen, approved by the Missouri Senate.
Putting the fun in funding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guys, I don't know if you were on Twitter yesterday. Oh, buddy, the breakup of the century, Donald Trump and Elon Musk. I think it's official. No longer can you say that women are too emotional to be in positions of leadership.
Wasn't it AOC's like, oh, the girls are fighting, aren't they? Cardinals split a doubleheader yesterday, and it's not going to get any easier. The Dodgers are in town. Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers are in town starting tonight. So I bet Busch Stadium is going to be packed. It's going to be a lot of Cardinals fans tonight and probably a lot of bandwagon Dodgers fans.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know the people from L.A. aren't coming here.
Some do. There's a healthy little pro-Dodger group of fans that live in the metropolitan area here.
So I will say, strangely enough, several friends who moved from California here, and they're the ones that have the Dodgers flags outside their homes. And I mean, they're legit Dodgers fans that came here for whatever reason, work usually. And there's a strong little contingent
of real
Dodgers fans.
There's a subdivision in Edwardsville called Ebbets Field, and all of the streets.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
All the streets are named for Dodger greats.
It's if I'm not mistaken, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but Robert Plummer, who's
correct.
Got the RP Lumber, was a Dodgers fan, is a Dodgers fan. So that subdivision has all those like Dodgers greats names,
and
the signs are blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I'm going to the game with them tomorrow.
Oh, whoa. The Lumber people?
Yeah.
Oh. We should put them in touch with the Baileys, the Lumberjacks. Mm-hmm. And the Lumberjacks and the Lumber people can all go together.
A great family, the Plummers. Really great family. Yeah. And his son, Jason Plummer, is a state senator from Edwardsville.
Oh. I did not know that.
How about that?
But they're Dodgers fans.
They're big-time Dodgers fans.
So are you going to wear your Cardinals swag? Yeah. Are you going to do play-by-play?
I might.
I don't think you should. Let them enjoy the
especially
game.
Especially when Shohei gets up. You should do play-by-play with all those Dodgers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, buddy.
You should let them know.
The people love it.
Tell them it's a Busch Stadium tradition. This is what Cardinals fans do.
This is what makes it baseball heaven, folks.
This is why we're the best fans in baseball.
We are.
Yeah, we just give you personal play-by-play.
I'll tell you, I start doing that play-by-play, and everybody looks at me. And
They do. They do.
One guy tell you to stop it?
One guy.
Oh, no. He more than asserted that he should stop.
What did he say?
Will you
shut the hell up?
Yeah, essentially. Knock it off.
Did it hurt your feelings? That would hurt my feelings.
It did. Yeah. It did, because I was doing a splendid job at the time.
But he was right. Like, the guy literally was right in front of John. So John's doing it right in his ear. He's a season ticket holder that no longer sits next to me. He's moved on.
Good riddance, I say.
Now they've surrounded me with all the visiting ball teams' families.
Yeah.
Were you doing this back when you were running for office?
No, I don't think I was. Okay. I don't think I was. I started doing it when the kids were little. I started doing
entertaining the
play
kids.
Play-by-play at the kids' games.
The kids' games.
Loved it.
Sometimes during our snooker contests, he does it with a bit of a British accent.
Sound amazingly like John Virgo, the voice of snooker.
Oh, John Virgo.
Yeah. Talk about him a lot.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Kelly finds himself in a spot of bother. That's what he'll say.
In a spot of bother?
A spot of bother?
Yes.
God, I...
We're stealing that.
The English people are great.
Love them.
Is that a snooker term or is that like an English
thing? Well, it's an expression.
Thing?
Yeah.
It's an idiom.
I've never heard spot of bother.
Oh, yeah.
That means like being in a bit of trouble.
Yeah. Okay. You've never heard of spot of bother?
I've not heard spot of bother.
Like being in a pickle.
Yeah.
We say being in a pickle. Why do we say being in a pickle?
Because I think the only way that a pickle's made is by it being in a jar. So you're stuck in a jar, a pickle jar.
Okay.
With vinegar.
Essentially, right? Yeah. Isn't that what they make pickles with?
Can't stand the smell of vinegar.
Really?
No, it's pungent.
Even the balsamic?
I don't know. It's
like in dressing, balsamic vinegar.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't.
You can, with a little bit of vinegar and a lot of water, it's a good way to clean your wood floors. Just a tiny bit of
Based
vinegar.
Based on TikTok, vinegar and baking soda seem to be like, you put that
cleans
on anything,
everything.
It takes care of everything.
It does everything.
And lemons. Like you can clean up a cutting board with lemons, like rubbing lemons and salt.
My buddy Frank ate a lemon every day. and he lived to be like 97, 8 years old, something like that.
I was at a restaurant the other day where the kid was, there was a baby eating lemons.
Yeah.
And the parent was like, here, can I have your lemon? Well, I mean, they were eating the inner part. You know,
that's bad for your teeth.
But you eat the lemon.
Why is it bad for your teeth?
Acidic.
Well, if you swallow the darn thing, it's not on your teeth very long. Yeah, but Frank would eat a lemon every day.
That's what the sailors used to have, lemons, so they wouldn't get the scurvy.
Yeah, you don't want the scurvy.
That's right.
Did Frank peel the lemon and eat it like an orange?
I think he ate the peel, too.
Most people do. They eat that stuff.
Yeah.
I had a guy in a business meeting at Tom's Bar and Grill in the Central West End.
I know that place.
It's a weed shop now. Yeah. He had an issue. He had a checkered pass. But anyway, when I was sitting across the table from him, like almost as a thing of intimidation, he took his lemon rind, stared at me directly, and ate it, chewed it up, and swallowed it. And I was like, wow, how'd that taste? He goes, fabulous. And I said, you want another? And he took mine and did it.
Why did he look at you
the whole
time? Well,
Frank would occasionally eat multiple lemons a day, but he always had at least one a day.
Can you imagine eating a lemon rind, just staring at somebody? I thought, what am I going to get whacked? I thought I was going to get killed. Is this like a sign?
Now, you can candy lemon peels and orange peels, and those are good when you candy them.
With what? Yeah. Like honey?
Like sugar water. Like I think like boiling them in sugar water, and it takes kind of a process, but that's pretty good.
Who have I seen do that? It might have been my guy Jacques Pepin. I think it was him.
I love Jacques Pepin.
Oh, he's great, and I'll tell you why he's great, because nothing is exact with him. Mm. He's just like, You put it in the oven 8, 10, 12 minutes. It does not matter. Whatever. Like, what? What do you mean? There's got to be a time here. You can't just put it in. It's like, whatever you want.
So his favorite was Jacques Pepin, and I loved Yan Can Cook.
Yan.
Remember Yan Can Cook?
No.
PBS? The PBS midday was like Jacques Pepin, Yan Can Cook, Sewing with Nancy. I think she had a stroke.
No,
I liked Justin Wilson. He was the Cajun guy. Yeah, the chef.
Justin Wilson.
Yes. Look at him. He's very
Emerald
famous.
Was the Cajun chef.
The Cajun, no. He's...
Emerald was the Cajun chef.
No. Justin Wilson. Look at him.
Yeah, that guy.
The research department, get on Justin Wilson. He was great.
I have no idea of any of the names you guys have just talked about.
Justin Wilson sounds like a quarterback for the Bears.
The only PBS name that I would know is Ross, the painter.
Oh, Bob Ross was part of that midday PBS
lineup.
He's the
only one name I remember.
Did you watch the Bob Ross documentary?
It's very sad.
Yeah, it's super sad. That family took advantage of him.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What, like his cut his hair?
No, I mean, they took him in, took him in, but they had the studio in their house. They got all the money from it. His family can't get any of it. It's super...
Super weird.
Yeah,
it got so rough at the end that the trees stopped being happy.
Aww. Yeah,
I mean, that's what happened.
Wow. What's
the
song
point
like?
Where they say don't buy, and maybe it's changed in the last year or so, mm-hmm. but if you see any, and I happen to have bought like a Bob Ross shirt. I have a nice t-shirt. None of that money goes to him.
Finger puppet.
Yeah, so I have a coffee mug. I have a t-shirt. None of that money goes to him. It goes to this family.
I went to a Bob Ross theme night at a bar where everybody got you sat around and you painted, and it was really kind of fun.
How do you paint with a finger puppet?
Well, you don't, but you can put them on like your pen, and when you write, it's Bob Ross. He's got his...
Is it just like a giant fro?
Well, no. I mean, it's got his face and a little shirt and the palette, the color palette.
Oh, but he doesn't have the chia head like the...
Well, kind of, but it's felt because it's a finger puppet.
And we found the cooking Cajun over there.
Yes, we did.
Let's hear a little bit of that.
Well, his name's Justin Wilson, as he said.
Yes.
Passed away in 2001.
Yeah.
Oh.
I realized to never click on personal life on Wikipedia. Married 4 times and was a segregationist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
He was born in 1914 in Louisiana.
But the guy could cook.
Yes, he could.
And he had a marvelous presentation.
Well,
I didn't realize he was a racist.
Do you take advice from a person on how to cook the perfect dish every time who's been married 4 times? Like, does he really know how to get the recipe right?
Yes, he does. He's been married so many times because he keeps trying out new things, and he knows what doesn't work.
Oh, I see.
I will say,
that's what cooking is, trial and error.
Right.
Talking about the PBS Midday Show, I loved PBS. Like, I was a huge PBS kid.
None of us could have guessed that.
I know. Well, also, yeah, I mean, I got done with school early, being homeschooled, but then I had younger siblings, right, who watched PBS, and... I loved all their kids' programming. So, since we did bring up Doge, I've got like my Save PBS shirt. I'm marching for PBS and the parks. I bought a Smokey the Bear shirt to save the parks and conservation. Because I will say this, firsthand experience now, with all the stupid Doge cuts, which didn't save us any money and might have actually cost us $135 billion because when you fire people, you have to pay them out.
That's right.
But one part of the government that was actually hit really hard is the forestry department. And going on my hiking trip to the national parks, you know, the most public-facing element of the government, something the government actually does really well, Republicans and Democrats should agree that they run the forestry services and the national parks so well. We were talking to these older women in their 80s who were hiking. You know, they hike every day. It's part of their routine. And they said, oh, we have a lovely visitor center, you know, you can learn all about this area, but it's closed because the forestry department got hit pretty hard with the cuts. And we don't know if it's going to reopen. You know, there's no reopening time frame for that. And then they also...
Did you just reference 80-year-old hiking women?
Yes, because you know what they were? They were the grand old broads of the Sierras. They helped volunteer. And they've had to volunteer more because the forestry and the conservation departments have been hit. So now I'm adding PBS because PBS has such great. I love PBS.
And what hits home, because you were joking, John was, do we even have a National Weather Service anymore? But the forecasting that we have, so many people have been eliminated from the NOAA
right.
because they thought that was a useless thing. But it's not. It helps. It helps meteorologists around the country forecast dangerous storms that are coming. There was a guy at a TV station in, we probably have the audio somewhere if you go back and find it, but who went on about a 2-minute rant. He's a meteorologist in Florida, and it's hurricane season that's about to happen. Yeah. And he's like, our local offices in like Tampa, for example, are 20 to 40% understaffed. Mm. These people that are charged with forecasting hurricanes and having, you know, letting people know what the path of the hurricane is going to be, which is hugely important. They cut all that stuff, which is so stupid. It's like, is so stupid.
I just like, if you have a household and let's say the budget's insane, like you're way over budget because you're buying Gucci purses and your kids are going to Lululemon and they're buying tickets and you go, guys, we are wasting too much money. So here's what we're going to do. We're not going to shower anymore so that we don't use as much water and our water bill is lower. And we're also not going to cook food anymore so that our electric bill is lower. But you're still going to Gucci and you're still going to Lululemon and you realize you have not made a dent in the family spending. You've picked the most practical and needed element of the family, cooking and keeping clean, to cut. Meanwhile, you're still shopping at Gucci, so you've done nothing to cut the family's debt.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We are with Hancock and Kelly for the 9 o'clock hour here, and we love having them. And they love being here. Don't let them tell you different. It's Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX.
And what we're starting to see is that the quality of the forecasts is becoming degraded. There's also a chance, because of some of these cuts, that NOAA Hurricane Hunter aircraft will not be able to fly this year, and with less reconnaissance missions, we may be flying blind, and we may not exactly know how strong a hurricane is before it reaches the coastline.
That's John Morales with NBC6 in South Florida. That's what we were talking about. He went on about a 2-minute rant about how these organizations are understaffed and they are helpful to people. They save lives. They can let people know ahead of time exactly what the path of a storm is going to be so they can prepare for it. I don't think any of us would argue against that being important, but that's the sort of thing that has been cut by DOGE.
Yeah, and I heard the other day that NORAD is not going to check Santa's flight this Christmas.
Well, yeah, that's not good either.
I know.
For those who celebrate Santa.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, he knows how to do it. Yeah, so, but this stuff is important and it's stupid and Elon Musk is stupid. I know he's supposed to be brilliant or whatever, but this kind of stuff really takes away from the supposed brilliance of a guy like that. And I know you guys talked a little bit about it today, the Twitter spat that started between he and the president. It started with him, Elon Musk, being upset with this big, beautiful bill and the passage of it, calling it a disaster and saying that it should be voted down.
An abomination, I think.
Mm-hmm. He called it.
Started the Kill Bill campaign,
told people to call Congress people and tell them to not pass this bill. So that happened. The president went after him. He went back at the president, accused the president of being in the Epstein files, which is why the Epstein files have not been released. Today, the president told a couple of reporters that he has no interest in talking with Elon Musk and that Elon has lost his mind. Lost his mind, he says. So this is one hell of a it's quite a bit of a catfight that's happening here. And like, it's funny, right? It would be a lot funnier if it weren't two pretty important and influential people who have already affected people's lives and will continue to do so. If these were just two celebrities, this would be very, very funny. But unfortunately, they affect the rest of us.
And Ron, to clarify too, the way they were catfighting, going after each other on Twitter and on Truth Social, saying, all right, you ready for this? It was a public social media breakup spat. It was embarrassing. Yeah. Again, it was hilarious in some ways to see two egotistical clowns take each other down. So like from a Schadenfreude point of view, yeah, it was gratifying to see it. But when you look at it and go, okay, these are two of the most influential men in the world. You have the leader of the free world. You have the richest man in the world representing the United States.
Who helped one of them get elected, by the way.
Yes, and representing the United States, it's so embarrassing and sad.
Sad, predictable, funny, predictable, and feels like we're living in a comic book, doesn't it? The president of the United States, the world's most powerful man, the world's, richest man having a fight over, and we're all left in the limb. And, and then the president literally in the same press conference says, well, and we probably ought to just let these people over in Ukraine and Russia fight this out like school kids when he's acting like a child.
Wait, I thought if Trump became president, he was going to end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours.
Well, it was going to be day one. We just don't know what day was going to be day one.
He didn't specify which 24 hours it was going to be.
I think he meant one day, not day one. Right. There's a difference between one day and day one.
Yes.
And, the president's got a lot at stake here because John and I talked about this on our a couple of minutes together, that this may be his only shot at a legacy. This may be his only shot, I mean, for this term.
Well, he'll have
of
a legacy.
Of significant legislation and putting a signature outside of whatever he's doing with trying to screw up courts and write executive orders.
How'd you like to be Elon Musk's publicist? I mean, here you got a guy that people think's pretty cool. He gets the electric car going. He's flying his rockets out there. And then he goes and buys Twitter. And that raised some eyebrows. And then he starts tweeting, and that raised some more eyebrows. And then he goes and cozies up to Donald Trump, becoming a hero of the MAGA movement. I mean, they love him. And then everybody that's not in the MAGA movement thinks the guy's got a screw loose. So as a publicist, that's not what you want to do. And now he's gone and alienated all the MAGA people. Who likes the guy now?
Mm-hmm.
And look at the billions of dollars. He's the world's richest man, but he may not be for long.
So, again, just in February, Elon Musk tweeted out, "I love real Donald Trump as much as a straight man can love another man." You know, that's what he says. And then he starts criticizing the big, beautiful bill because he didn't like that his pick for the head of NASA. Trump didn't go with it.
Right.
So he got a little pissy about it. And so then Donald Trump said on his Truth Social, "The easiest way to save money in our budget, billions and billions of dollars, is to terminate Elon's governmental subsidies and contracts. I was always surprised that Biden didn't do it. Elon was wearing thin. I asked him to leave. I took away his EV mandate that forced everyone to buy electric cars that nobody else wanted, that he knew for months I was going to do. And he just went crazy." And that's when Elon said on Twitter, "Time to drop the really big bomb. Real Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. That is the real reason they have not been made public. Have a nice day, DJT."
So,
and then I will just say this, 2 hours ago, JD Vance said, "There are many lies that the corporate media tells about President Trump. One of the most glaring is that he's impulsive or short-tempered."
No.
What?
No. Is he kidding?
Yeah. No. Is that the onion?
Is he serious?
No. I thought it was a joke. No.
Come on,
anyone
dude.
Who has seen him operate under pressure knows that's ridiculous.
All right, so here's
he
my
is the most important.
I think Trump is right that maybe Elon shouldn't have all these government contracts. Maybe we shouldn't have just awarded him all this stuff. For a guy who complains about handouts to other people, he's done nothing but get billions from the U.S. government over a decade.
Yep.
So I don't want to hear it from him. So Trump might be right in that. The problem I have with this, one of the problems I have with it, is that on a personal vendetta, the president is willing to cancel a government contract just because he doesn't like a guy. Just because he doesn't like something the guy said about him. So the rest of us are being affected by their stupid, petty catfight.
Yeah, I guess. And I mean, like we said, it was predictable and all that other stuff. But to me, it's gotten to a place where I feel like I was before the election where it was like, man, are we really going to do this again? Where it's going to be chaotic with Donald Trump every day.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Well, it's more chaotic because he doesn't have people in the administration ever holding him back or trying to.
And it's
he surrounded himself this time with people who will just let him do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
All those sick elephants out there.
Oh, sycophants.
Yes.
That's what you meant.
It was a good day for Aaron Rodgers to sign with the Steelers, I can tell you that.
Oh, that clown. Oh, my God. That's another clown. It's Hancock and Kelly with Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMLX.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
I thought people didn't like paying for sports stadiums, guys. I thought they didn't like paying for billionaires to have new fields and ballparks and whatnot. So,
they don't.
But we're going to do it in the state of Missouri now?
And we should.
Really?
Totally.
Why?
It's no different. The Chiefs, the Royals, the Rams, the Cardinals, they are no different than an auto plant, a beer company, an aircraft manufacturer. They bring in significant revenue, and I would argue to you, bring even in more recognition intangibly to a region than those typical manufacturers do. They create jobs, they create revenue, and goodness gracious, do we need another case study of the consequences of losing a sports team? That's what's on the table. Now, look, I get it. It's our little brother over in Kansas City. We're all frustrated with them. They're billionaires. Lamar Hunt's a jerk and, you know, gets involved in politics. I get all that. At the end of the day, it is one of the biggest businesses on the planet, and it matters to Missouri that it's here.
Yeah, and the interesting one of the interesting things here is that if you relocate just across the state line, which is what the state of Kansas is trying to do, it doesn't really affect the fans. You know, they're going to drive to the stadium like they do now. It's just going to be in the other state. But it does affect the status of the state of Missouri. It will elevate the status of the state of Kansas. That does have intangible benefits. And certainly the tax revenue generated from the facility in a different state will never come to Missouri again. So you're going to lose out on that. And what I find interesting in all of this, because I'm not a big fan of stadium funding either, but what the governor did here was pretty remarkable. If you think about it, I can't remember the last time a consequential piece of controversial legislation passed the Missouri General Assembly with a bipartisan majority, because that's what happened there.
Yeah, it's a 1913 vote.
It was, and there was several Democrats that voted for it, and several Republicans have voted against it. Yet the governor got it done. And, you know, whatever you may think about the underlying bill, that is a profoundly effective political skill set there that he demonstrated. It looks like it's going to pass the House as well.
Well, I mean, obviously, we want to keep the Chiefs and Royals and those
stadiums.
At least
the Chiefs.
At least the Chiefs. I will say, and I say this as someone who's, I'm pro-billionaire, go make your money. However, the public funding for the stadiums, it's not just that billionaires can pay for their own stadiums because slimy, smarmy Stan Kroenke did that. Right. He's not going to take a hit. He's not going to say, hey, guys, we can't put food on the table tonight because we're scraping cash to pay for the stadium. That's not how billionaires work. He could invest it. He could borrow. He'll be fine. But it's the way a lot of owners posit it, that, well, if you guys don't want to give us your money, we're going to go to somewhere else where they appreciate us and they like us better.
Yeah, I can't believe here I am taking the side of capitalism and fighting for it. But I mean, that's exactly what Amazon did on their other headquarters. It's exactly what a lot of companies do in trying to get regions to compete to bring those jobs here.
Charlotte, Atlanta, two very good examples of where the state government.
But usually, and I think if we took out of the fact that some of the employees of this of these organizations are people who, you know, get paid $100 million and can't get the ball over the plate, that's what we all wind up getting caught up in, is that this is 20 people who are employed. No, it's not. It's so much bigger than just those people. I don't like this, that we give out subsidies. But listen, if in San Diego, that has the greatest weather in the world, and Los Angeles and in New York City, they're giving away incentives to make sure these businesses stay, do you really think that Kansas City and St. Louis can be the ones to draw the line in the sand and say, things are so honky-dory here, we don't have to compete the way that Nashville and L.A. and other places are?
And what they're doing here is they're taking the tax revenue generated by the facilities and using that revenue to service the bond, the borrowing that the teams are going to use.
Don't you think, though, and I do see sports teams as different than a business. I do see a business like Amazon as crazy. yet it is as it is. That could be a little bit more volatile. Sports teams gain value always and forever.
For the owners.
For the owners. Right. They're always gaining value. You're not going to go out of business. The Cardinals aren't going to go out of business. And the customers, there is, like I said, maybe this is just bad customer service, but the customers are buying jerseys. They're buying tickets. It's part of their identity as a city and their families. And it's always, well, if you guys don't cough up more money, we're going somewhere else where they care about us.
But what is Anheuser-Busch selling you? They're selling you a beer can. What is Ford selling you? They're selling you a car. What are the Cardinals selling you? They're selling you a memory. That's what they're selling you. I mean, I don't see it as any different business. I get what you're saying, that they pull on your heartstrings and stuff, but that's what they're selling you. It's not just coming to the game. They're getting you to buy into this mystique, and that's their product. And I think it's important. I don't like the rules that we give these people this money, but this pompous idea that we're going to stop this stuff. Really? We've lived through the consequences of it right here. I don't care what anybody says. St. Louis is a less relevant city in this country because we're not an NFL team.
Well, NFL might be a little different than everything else just because it is such a big deal nationally. And just to be an NFL city, it does it sort of put you. Yeah, it does. I mean, Jacksonville still sucks. Right? Jacksonville as a city still is not any good, even though they have a football team. But if they didn't, we wouldn't even know what Jacksonville, Florida was.
Well, that's where we're
at. So I think that's part of it. Where the objection comes in is that every study that's ever done about this, about public funding for stadiums, it never pays off for the city in the end. There's always this, well, there's more foot traffic. What they find usually is that it's not that there's more money spent because there's a football team or whatever. It's that because people, they have their disposable income, it just gets spent somewhere else, right? So instead of it being spent on one activity, maybe it's spent in town, it's just spent on the football team, on football tickets. Whereas if there wasn't a football team, they would just spend it somewhere else.
But you also lose the relevance of your city. I mean, listen, when the Rams were playing every Sunday, St. Louis was talked about every Sunday in the news.
That's
when
true.
When we're talked about every Sunday in the news it's about being the most dangerous city. It's intangibles. It's a business. Well,
I mean, they were still talking about it then.
If this was a universal disarming of handing away incentives, I'd be for it.
Right.
But Nashville's chomping at the bit to get a baseball team, and they would have no problem to buy the Kansas City Royals or any other team out there. And if they're willing to build these stadiums, that's the price of poker.
So this is could be totally unrelated in some ways, but why did Stan Kroenke go the way of a private funding? Was that
maybe a unique situation in that's the second largest market on the planet.
Right.
And by immediately moving his team there, he tripled and quadrupled his value. Yeah, maybe a unique circumstance that's not a same comparison for the Chiefs or the Royals potentially leaving. I don't know that there's an NFL owner out there that would have the opportunity that Stan Kroenke has. And if you look at it objectively, what Stan Kroenke said in his letter and what he ultimately did as a businessman, he said a lot of true things, and he expanded the value of his company. It sucks because he took away what? He didn't take away a football team from us. He took away the memories
It's true.
That we're all buying. Mm-hmm.
But one thing I think is important is what Amy said to remember, in that anytime any owner of any baseball team or football team or whatever tries to tell you, oh, this is a tough business, this is a risk for us, we're really putting ourselves out there, every single owner of every single major franchise is making money. And if they were to sell their teams today, they would make money on their investment. The Cardinals paid the DeWitts paid $150 million. That ownership group paid $150 million. The team's worth $2.5 billion.
And Mark Zuckerberg laid off 5% of his staff the other day and is going to get an increase in his pay. Right. I don't like any of it.
Right.
But it's same. It's no different from sports than it is the rest of corporate America.
So the team that we're always crapping on because they deserve it is the White Sox and Jerry Reinsdorf, who just yesterday we learned that there's a succession plan now that Justin Ishbia is the guy's name. He's going to take majority ownership, and it could be as early as 2029. When Reinsdorf bought the team, no joke, back in the 80s, it was like a $20 million purchase. He paid in 1981, I think, $20 million for the team. Yeah. It is worth over $2 billion now. Mm-hmm. And this
that's
is a that's a guy.
Success.
Well, and that's that's a guy who talks about how difficult it is to maintain a team and pay for a team. Even though he didn't pay for his own stadium, he's got this incredible deal from the state where they are basically the landlord, and he pays nothing for them to play there. And then he asked for more money to build a new stadium. That's why I think we should always, with a grain of salt, when a billionaire sports owner is asking for money for anything, we should all collectively go, I don't know about that. And, you know, hopefully this works out and doesn't hurt the state. I think it clearly is a better thing if the mm-hmm. Royals and Chiefs are in the state as opposed to being out.
It is.
But financially, I don't know how much we benefit. I'd like to see what numbers are.
I think we benefit. I mean, I think it's the right decision. I think for me, it's a messaging issue. I do see teams as different than other companies, and I get that they're businesses, but they're always gaining value. It's not a risk to own a professional team.
Both of those teams have an offer on the table from the state of Kansas to publicly finance through using their taxes to service the bond debts in Kansas to build them stadiums. So if we do nothing, they're in Kansas.
Again, for me, and this is not the most important thing, maybe people don't feel this way, I think the messaging goes a long way. If they were just honest, like, listen, they're offering us this, we would really like a competitive offer from Missouri, it is what it is, versus, well, you guys don't love us enough. The fans aren't loyal enough. You don't care enough.
The Reds owner tried that crap.
Yeah. You should be grateful we're even here.
Yep.
To me, that's bad messaging, and I know that's not the most important thing, but at least be upfront. Hey, we're making the best monetary decision for the team. Can your state give us something? That at least I can respect more than you know, Gladys, I know you've been going to these games for a long time, for 80 years, but if you don't want to give some of your Social Security check to us or whatever, you know, you don't care enough. You don't love us enough. That's weird to me. Don't make that the positioning.
It's a Chris and Amy show. We've got Hancock and Kelly with us for just a bit longer on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We launched our question of the week on Tuesday, guys, Hancock and Kelly in. And our question this week was, which youth sport has the worst parents? Like obnoxious or heckling. And I can tell you where we're at, or I can wait until you answer. But there is one sport that's kind of running away with it. But which youth sport has the worst parents in your opinion?
I probably don't have enough data to weigh in on this, as I don't spend much time at youth. So my only experience is running into these parents in restaurants and hotels where, when they're on their travel gigs because they're in St. Louis for a baseball tournament or a soccer tournament or wherever I'm at. I've found the hockey people to be over the top, nice, like a loving kind of community. I've found the soccer community to be similar, the same people,
I was
gonna no
say
matter.
Pretentious.
The way you're about to, you start every one of these like, Dave, I found these people to be
no,
really
but I
obnoxious.
Mean, I find them to be kind of boring. They all look alike. They all say the same stuff, so they're not it.
Okay,
I
find
the
baseball people to usually typically be the rudest. Like when, like they just getting out of their car and they got the. They're in two parking spots and there are junks there and you're trying to get in.
Two parking spots.
So that's mine.
So
I would
specific.
Say baseball.
Baseball can be rough. I've observed baseball, basketball, and soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought the basketball crowd was pretty rough. You know,
because they're
parents.
On top of you too.
Yeah. And
did you officiate ever?
No, my son did in baseball. He was a baseball umpire and he got into it with some parents.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that does happen.
The thing is, in baseball, in any of these sports, you can't really play to the home. Well, I guess you can in basketball if it's like a high school team or something because you're in an opponent's gym or
sure.
whatever. But when you're doing baseball, it's both the crowd is evenly matched.
Yeah.
So you can't have a home crowd to go to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, like and some of these parents are just nuts, you know, and they've invested so much of their own identity into their kids and they put all the pressure on the kids. And the kids are going to have therapy in the next 10 years. And, you know, the parents are destroying these people out there.
Destroying.
Well, what was the consensus in the question with everybody?
Baseball is running away
by
with
a lot.
It. Yeah. I love the specificity of Michael's. Like, they park in two parking spots and they have all their
junks everywhere.
I will say I stayed at a hotel when there was a Methodist convention. They were pretty rowdy, too.
Oh, really? The Methodists.
Oh, there were a lot of kids and they
Methodists
were running on the halls.
Up until 3 in the morning if you let them.
Yeah, I think they were.
Yeah.
I put the Methodists right up there with baseball.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The Methodists.
You got to keep your eye on those Methodists out there.
How do you spot a Methodist?
You don't.
Yeah.
I mean, they just look
They're
like everybody
everywhere.
Else.
That's what makes them so dangerous.
They look like everybody else. All right, boys. Snooker?
No.
What?
You got work to
today.
Do?
Yes.
I'm going to see to the pending nuptials of my sister Melissa and her husband, to be betrothed, Chris.
Oh, congrats.
I'm excited.
Congratulations.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
He's got a wedding and I've got a funeral.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
It's the circle of life.
Oh. Can't be late to your own.
No, I'm playing in Amazing Grace at this funeral.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome. Will you play Grand Old Flag at mine?
Sure, Amy.
Thank
Will you play Grand Old Flag at this one?
I won't be here.
No. Okay.
You'll be here.
All right, boys. We'll see ya.
Bye, guys.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly. Hour two of the show is next. We got Scott Jagow roaming St. Louis. He's got three good things for us. He is coming in next on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking or music. Or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.